Not long before his death, Kenneth Hagin made a powerful statement. He said, if you're not receiving from God, there's normally one of three reasons: wrong thinking, wrong believing, or wrong confession. And he said, for many people, it's in the confession arena. We're careful how we talk in the church, but we don't recognize the power of our words out in the marketplace in the other days of the week. And we fail to realize that death and life is in the power of our tongue. The words that you speak literally create an environment that you live in. How many of you want to have increase? Am I in the right place? Right, if you want to have increase, then you have to, with your words, create an environment of increase that you live in. So what I want you to do is find three people, shake their hands, look in the eye, and just say to them, I'm ready for increase. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I want you to realize before we get started, increase is not a money message. Increase is a mindset message. It's a teaching that makes people aware that they are not trapped by the limiting beliefs that they have now, the habit patterns that they've been given by others. But by changing on the inside, we can change on the outside. And when you become an increased thinker, every area of your life can change. Listen to Harvey's testimony. Within 6 months, my business more than doubled. Now, that's finances, but listen to the rest. I got more involved in my church. My marriage has never been happier. My wife and I are acting like two teenagers in love. I've been totally cured of cancer, and I lost 75 pounds. Wow. So that's what can happen to you when increase begins to take a hold of your life. Well, it is so great to be back with you, and what a facility. Man, this is increase, isn't it? Wow, this is something else. And it's just so good to be back in a city whose name I can pronounce. Jackson. I mean, when you travel such as I travel, I mean, my goodness, the cities you have to come to. You know, we were in the Miami area, and I'm going down the freeway, and I said to the driver, I said, there's our turnoff, Opa-locka. And he said, no, it's not Opa-locka, it's Opa-locka-sha. And the guy in the back seat said, no, you're both wrong. It's Caribbean, it's Opa-locka-sha, like cha-cha-cha. So I'm going to speak in this city, and I don't even know how to pronounce its name. So I had the presence of mind. We stopped to get a snack, so I called the manager of the restaurant over, and I said, sir, I said, I'm confused, and I need your help. Very slowly, will you please tell me exactly where am I? He looked at me kind of funny, and he says, Burger King. So I guess that's exactly where I was. You know, speaking of driving down the freeway, I mean, many of you know that Chicago O'Hare Airport is just off I-95, I-195. And I was there a while ago, and wouldn't you know, I'm out at the curb, and this Bentley limousine drives up. And the rear window rolls down, and this lady sticks her head out. And it was Oprah. And she said, do you know how I can get to 195? And I said, sure, lose 50 pounds. Oh, moving right along. Yeah. You know, we've had increase in our life in several ways. Number one, when I was with you last time, I had my fiance with me. Well, this last July, after pursuing her for years, we finally got married. So this is wonderful. Just an incredible lady. Yes. And, you know, some people say, well, why did you decide to get married after being a widower for 10 years? And I said, well, I think it triggered in me about a year ago. I was doing this meeting, and this lady came up to me after service and said, Dr. Harrison, I want to tell you, you look a lot like my third husband. And I said, really? You've been married three times? She said, no, I've only been married twice. So that's when you decide. But they mentioned to you that we do put on increase events. We have one coming up in September. It's a three-day event. It's going to be in Fort Lauderdale. If you want to rapidly accelerate to another level and you want to meet some super Christian achievers from around the world, I encourage you plan to come and be with us. I'm speaking there, Miles Monroe, several other speakers. The thing that makes our events unique is that our teaching sessions are done at 1 o'clock because the keys of our event are tied around idea exchanging and fellowshipping with one another. So we have that available back there. Also, we have a service tonight, something very unusual. We are going to, at 6:30 tonight, do a mini-seminar for you to teach you how do you take increased principles and make them work now. It's one thing to know if God wants you something. It's to know how do you make it work? How do you activate it? And so I just believe it's going to be a powerful time tonight. I invite you to come and join with us. We're not going to go long. I know some of you have to get up early. You have kids in school. I'm used to being on a time schedule. I spoke this last Tuesday to 20,000 people in Kansas City, sharing the stage with Rudy Giuliani and who all was there? Oh, my goodness. Steve Forbes, Robert Shuler, Colin Powell. It was a great lineup. But when I speak in those lineups, if I go 1 minute over, they take 1,000 off my honorarium. 2 minutes over, 2,000. 3 minutes over, you're never asked back again. Because if your next speaker is former President George Bush and you just take 5 minutes of his time, so you're not going to do that. So I'm used to watching time. So we won't go long tonight, and then we're going to pray for you. Because I believe for some of you, all you need is an impartation. An impartation, an anointing of increase upon your life, and God can change your life in 1 week. I mean, you can meet one person, you can get one idea, you can get one strategy, one invention, and your life can totally change. So I encourage you, plan to be with us tonight. Turn, if you would, please, to Numbers, the 13th chapter. As many of you know from my times with you before, one of my hobbies is collecting unusual newspaper stories. And I came across a story a while ago in USA Today. It was a story about, well, let me just read it to you. The headline was, "Men Get Sick Siphoning Gas." A Seattle man attempted to steal gasoline from a parked motor coach. He got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find the man curled up laying on the street in pain. Apparently the thief plugged his hose into the side of the motor coach and by mistake began to suck out of the sewage tank. Now, why would I tell you this story on a Sunday morning? Because it illustrates if you have the wrong input, you're going to have the wrong results. Yeah. I share the stage many times with a great motivational speaker who's from Mississippi, a man named Zig Ziglar. And Zig says, you cannot change the output if you're not willing to change the input. And that's the real key. And so for that reason, we do have a product table out here. I am not here to sell you products. If product sales were my motivation, I would strictly do the secular arena. But I'm here to impact and change lives. And I realize that I'm limited to what I can do in 40 minutes. But if I can spend some time with you over the next month and impart teaching and ideas and strategies into your life, then I can cause change. For that reason, we have product that's out there. If you haven't got one, I've been with you before, and you're only going to get one of our series, I recommend this to you, our series on increase, how to retrain your core belief system. 11 CDs, MP3 download, powerful series that retails for $159. We have it on sale for $79. And so that's available back there. If you need to, you can get it on a two-payment plan. Another series I'd recommend to you is our series on abundance thinking. This is probably my favorite one that's out there. And this is a story of 12 fishermen. And fished all night, caught nothing. What were the changes that Jesus had to make that caused them to have the greatest catch in their life? And how you can rapidly experience turnaround in your life. So we have that available. If you're really serious about change, when I speak in the non-church arena, my number one selling series is actually a School of Increase box. You don't need to bring it up. Just hold up right there for me. It has 6 different CD series in it from time increase, from investing, from rapid financial turnarounds, the increase one I just mentioned to you. We give away some free material. It's about $700 worth of material. And we normally sell it for half price, which is $350, but our president has inspired me this year to have an economic stimulus package. And so we have it available to you if you want to get it for $299 or 3 payments of $99. And to get all that material for 3 payments of $99 is absolutely astounding. All right, have you found Numbers, the 13th chapter? This is a story that I'm sure you've heard before. But I like one thing that Brother Hagin said. He said, you can come up the mountain on a different path and get a different point of view. So we're going to come up the same mountain, but we're going to come up on a different path today and maybe take a different point of view on this particular story. It's a story of the tribe of Israel, who was in slavery and bondage and cried out to God and said, God, please deliver us. And the Bible said that God heard their cry, and he called Moses from the desert, and Moses came in, and Moses went to Pharaoh, and you're familiar with all that took place there, the 10 plagues of Egypt, and finally Pharaoh lets them go. The Red Sea parts, they have manna to feed them, they have a cloud by day to guide them, a fire by night. They arrive on the banks of the river. When they arrive on the banks of the river, Moses sends in 12 spies to spy out the land, to say, is this the promised land? Is the land the way that God told us it was? And the 12 spies come back, and we're going to pick it up there at the 27th verse, 13th chapter. And it said, and they told him, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, I want you to notice something. All 12 spies agreed with them. All 12 agreed it was a land of increase. It was a land of abundance. It was a land of more than enough. But then 10 of them disconnected. And they said, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. So they said, yes, it is a land of increase, but the land isn't for us. We can't obtain the land. The land is for somebody else because we're not capable of obtaining it. And Joshua and Caleb said, don't listen to them. We acknowledge that there's giants in the land. We acknowledge that there's obstacles there. But the God that brought us this far, he will deliver the land into our hands. Ooh, I like that. The God that brought us this far, he will deliver the land into our hands. But the tribe of Israel chose to believe the 10 spies. And they lived the rest of their lives in the wilderness. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? I was ministering in London, England in the first week of September. I walked out of our hotel and I came up to the newspaper rack, and this newspaper caught my attention. The headline said, house prices go up 91 pounds a day. Man, I got the newspaper. I began to read it. And here's what it says. House prices have risen in value by $150 a day the past year, according to Britain's biggest mortgage lender. This surge in property prices will reassure millions of homeowners worried by reports suggesting that the housing market faces a dramatic collapse. Now think about that. In this down economy, because England is hurting like we're hurting, in this down economy, home prices went up $150 a day, values. I said, man, that's really good news. I said, I wonder if this other newspaper next to it has something along the same line. I want to get it. So I grabbed the newspaper next to it. Double dip fears for house prices. Mortgage lending dived sharply last month to its second lowest level since records began, sparking renewed fears of a double dip in house prices. Now, I'm thinking, I'm standing at the same corner on the same day looking at two different newspaper racks, and they have totally opposite headlines. One of them says house prices are going up and the housing market is good, and the other says houses could collapse, it's going to get worse. And as I pondered that, I thought, the newspaper that somebody would choose to buy, read, and believe could determine their economic future. Now think about that. See, if you chose to buy and read and buy this one and believe this one, this would say, keep your house. This would say, maybe now's a good time to buy real estate. You know, low mortgage rates and prices are down. You look at this one, it says, oh my goodness, house prices go down worse. It's, you know, I'll take a loss, but I'll keep from a bigger loss. I better sell. I better liquidate. I better convert everything to cash. Totally different courses of action based upon the paper that you choose to believe and operate on. But now here's the key. I thought about this afterwards. For most people, they would not choose the newspaper that they would buy, read, and believe. For most people, the choice was made before they got to the news rack. Because the average person will choose the paper that agrees with the opinion that they had before they got to the rack. And they will choose to read and believe the one that agrees with the belief system that they already had when they arrived at that point. And so there really wasn't a choice involved, because the choice was made before they got there. And that's the challenge that so oftentimes we face when it comes to change, when it comes to wanting to move in a different direction, when it comes to wanting to experience the increase that God wants us to have. Because we don't recognize that we do not really walk around objective. We do not really walk around with an open mind. We think we do, and we like to, you know, flatter ourselves with that, but we don't. Because we are so preconditioned in the way we think, in the way we believe, and we bring that preconditioning to the table with us every time we get up in the day and we face a day. When we did the seminar with you, those of you who were with us last time we were here on the Sunday night, we shared with you the concept of understanding how the operating system of the mind works. Your mind has two separate operating systems. You have the one operating system is the conscious mind. The second operating system is the subconscious mind. The conscious mind analyzes, figures out, calculates, compares, you know, things that are happening. The subconscious mind doesn't do that. The subconscious mind merely reacts. It has a totally different function. The subconscious mind accepts the truths, the conclusions, the ideas, the summaries, whatever it might be, passes those to the subconscious, and then from that point on, the subconscious mind merely reacts to the information that's been given to it. This makes us incredible decision makers, because while we're thinking about one thing, we can be making decisions on all these other things without thoughts. If you're driving down the street and you're talking on the cell phone, oh, can you do that in this state? Okay. And you're talking on the cell phone. If the light turns red, you don't have to say to the person on the phone, just a minute, the light turned red, I got to think about what to do. At least I hope you don't. You will continue your conversation on the cell phone. You won't even give it a thought. Your foot will leave the gas and the car will stop instinctively. Well, you're carrying on that conversation. Why? Because somewhere in your past, you've been programmed to told when you see a red light, this means stop. And from that point on, it automatically happens without thought. Now, that's great. But the problem is, what if some truth that you've been told that now goes to the subconscious mind, that the subconscious mind is instinctively making decisions for you without thought. What if what you were taught was wrong? Okay? Or what if what you were taught has changed? What if you were taught that you drive on the right side of the road, but now you're living in England? Driving on the right side of the road will get you a head-on collision. So sometimes something that we've learned in the past isn't necessarily true now, because things have changed, circumstances have changed, and so we have to be open to the changes that we're facing. And if we don't, we keep on doing the same old thing. Why? Because we're preconditioned to think a certain way. Those of you at the seminar, you remember I brought with me it's a great illustration. I'm going to leave the stage for just a minute. I want to do it. Okay, I won't talk till I get to the light. These stairs are a long ways away. Okay. This lady right here, you have smiled and just caught my attention. Do you mind standing for just a moment? Yes. And your name is? Would you mind just smiling for this? Isn't that a beautiful smile? Yeah. But I picked her out not only because of her smile. I picked her out because she has such a beautiful beige top. Isn't that beautiful, the beige and the darker beige? You might say, well, that's not a beige top. That's a white top. And I would say no to you, that's a beige top. Now you would say to me, that's white, right? Isn't that white?
That's white.
I say it's beige. And you can't convince me it's white if I'm seeing beige. And as long as I have these glasses on, he can argue with me, he can yell at me, he can call you and you can be a witness and tell me it's white. I will not believe it because I see beige. And the only way that you're going to get me to see that as white is if you can change my glasses. If you can change the way that I see things. See, and that is the challenge that we face. We go through life thinking we're seeing normal, but we have tinted glasses. And in so many areas of our life, we see it preconditioned to see a certain way, not the way it really is. Let me give you an example. It applies even into the products we buy. All my life, I have used Crest toothpaste. I've never thought anything about it. I go to the store. I get Crest toothpaste. I like the taste of Crest. I like the packaging of Crest. I'm used to Crest. I'm comfortable with Crest. Right? Until 2 years ago, I was at the Hyatt Hotel in Bellevue. My Crest ran out. Now, Hyatt hotels give you free toothpaste as part of the amenity package in case you run out. But it wasn't Crest. It was Aquafresh. Well, rather than using nothing, I used Aquafresh. I said, oh my goodness, it has a whitening thing. It tastes good, you know. And here's what I thought. Why have I been using Crest toothpaste all my life? Why would I go to the store? Is that Crest toothpaste the only toothpaste that I would buy? I don't even look at the others. Because I thought, I've always had Crest. But I said, well, what do you mean you've always had Crest? And then I realized why. My mother used Crest. Yeah. Crest was the toothpaste that I used as a kid. And for the rest of my life, I was buying Crest toothpaste without a thought. Why? Because I'd always bought Crest toothpaste. And so sometimes we need to analyze, why are we thinking this way? Why are we buying this way? Why are we reacting this way? Because maybe it's it. Well, I've always been that way. But you don't have to continue the way you've been in the past. See, the news that I wanted to bring you this morning is, if you have a destructive thought pattern or behavior pattern, or you have a pattern that in your life economically that isn't abundance thinking, that would cause you to choose the wilderness rather than the promised land, you can break that. Any pattern can be interrupted. See, and that's the key. But it only happens when you choose to interrupt it. And so my message to you this morning is, I would say to you, examine your thought patterns. Examine your habit patterns. Look at your actions. But not even buying Crest toothpaste. See, we're preconditioned in how we look at life. The religious background that I was raised in as a kid, their view of life was good and evil. Black and white. And those leaders automatically processed almost anything black and white, good and evil. And it was very difficult for them to deal with things that were in the middle, which oftentimes things are. Because they would immediately try to be, this is black and white. It makes things real simple. You're good, you're bad. This black, this white, you know. But a lot of things aren't quite that simple to determine. Or another one, have you ever been around anybody that can tell you what's wrong with anything? Have you been around somebody like that? A specialist on negativity? You know, that doesn't matter. They always see the glass half empty. They always can tell you what shortcoming there is, what's wrong with something. Well, I used to be that way. I know some of you wouldn't believe that as, you know, the positive, wonderful person I am now. But I did. I used to be a very negative person. I don't know where I got it from, but I ran my business that way. I was a specialist at correcting what was wrong, you know, and actually it almost cost me my marriage because my first wife, she just literally just couldn't handle it anymore because she couldn't take the constant criticizing and the negativity that the mindset I brought from the business into the home. And she said, it isn't that I didn't love you, I just couldn't stand to be around you. I loved you more when you weren't here, you know. And so when I recognized that, I realized I didn't have to keep being a negative person. See, the dumbest thing you can say is, well, that's just the way I am. Yeah. I mean, if you want to say something to me that lets me know how dumb you are, just say that. That's just the way, or ignorant. Maybe ignorant's a better word. I'm sorry, ignorant. Not dumb. You could be smart. Yeah. Because, see, you can change the way you are. See, I was a negative person. My wife could hardly stand to be around me. But when I recognized that that's the way I was and that's the kind of problem I was causing, I said, I don't have to stay this way. I can change. So I began to change. I began to force myself to start seeing good. You know, it was hard at first because I was so good at seeing the negative. And then when I would see the good, I would compliment on the good. And as I began to force myself to do it, it became more a part of me. Until finally I became a person that was seeing good and not just seeing bad. Then I became a person that was really seeing a lot of good. That doesn't mean you don't deal with the negative. It means you lead with the positive. But I made a decision that I wasn't going to stay that way. I was going to do what was necessary. And tonight we're going to share with you one of the formulas that you can use to cause change to take place. It's called the cost-benefit formula. It's a powerful, powerful personal development tool. Or even in finances. Here I do a miracle turnaround on a Chrysler dealership. In one day, I go from 3 employees to 50 employees. I take over business on the day they're going to go bankrupt. And 90 days later, it's in the top 10 in Southern California for Chrysler stores. I'm making money and getting, you know, just having a time of my life, and I'm feeling guilty. Why? Because the glasses that I wore coming into that situation was from my religious background that said, he's a God of enough, not a God of more than enough. That he's okay if you have sufficiency, but if you have more than that, then that means somebody else has less. One of the biggest challenges I deal with in my seminars around the country is people with fixed pie thinking. They somehow they've got the point of view of life that the economically life is a fixed pie, and if somebody gets more, somebody else gets less. So they feel guilty for having more because it means somebody else has less. But in reality, God can make the pie bigger. See, that's the key. And actually, I can be a greater blessing if I have more. You know? I mean, I was in Joplin last Wednesday, and I was there, you know, with one of my friends who's a part of this big relief effort that's taking place there. And, you know, the people that are making the difference are the people that have more than enough. Because they're able to say, okay, I'll buy a semi of this here. Take this here. You know, I'll pay for this. Let's do this here. Let me pay for the new roof of the church, whatever it might be. So having more is not a negative. Having more can be a positive. But we won't see that if the point of view that we bring into that event is God's displeased with having more than enough. So I had to deal with that. How did I deal with that? I went into the Bible and I found out that his name was El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. I found out that he chose Abraham to be the father of his people. And Abraham was not just a man of great faith. Abraham was the wealthiest man in the land. And I said, God would not begin with a wealthy person if he was against us having wealth. So that showed me. I began to see the miracles of the Bible and found out almost every miracle of the Bible related to finances. The people ended up with more than they had than the problem was. They had abundance. And I realized God was a God of abundance. He was a God of more than enough. And my thinking began to change. My life began to change. So my friend Miles Monroe has a powerful statement. He said, God's number one problem on planet Earth is people. People with delivered spirits, but the same old thinking. Without a change of thinking, we merely find a new location where we do the same old thing. How many of you have been looking for a new location to do the same old thing? But God wants to say to you today, don't do the same old thing. You know, find that area of your life that's been causing relationship problems. Find that area of your life where maybe you haven't been breaking through another level spiritually. Find that area of your life that's been holding you back financially from believing for increase to come into your life. And then once you discover it, say, I am going to change in that area of my life. I'm going to break that power off of my life, and I am going to begin to believe God to help me to do it. And as you begin to do that, there is a whole life of increase, a whole life of abundance that's waiting for you. Because, see, you can see things differently. Maybe you've been privileged to see things positively. Maybe you've been privileged to do that. You know, I was talking to my friend Dave Martin on the phone last night. Dave has a great ministry. And he was telling me about, he was in Australia, and so the people were watching his, he was up in a meeting, and people were watching his five-year-old son took him to SeaWorld, and they took him on the roller coaster. And when he gets to the top of the roller coaster, this five-year-old boy says to the people that were watching him, they said, "Look it, you can see the Ritz-Carlton from here." Now, that's the kind of precondition I like. How many five-year-olds, the first thing they see from the top of a roller coaster is the Ritz-Carlton? But see, when we begin to change our thinking and we begin to go after our core belief system, all of a sudden we'll begin to see ideas that are different, be around people that are different, experience different things. Friend, I don't deny there's hurting people out there, and I don't deny the economy isn't good yet. But I want to tell you, in the midst of this, people that are thinking differently, people that are expecting differently, are having great years. You know, they're having incredible times. I was visiting with a partner of ours that owns a restaurant in Sarasota, Florida. They've gone up 35% this year. He said the only thing keeping them from having greater increase, they don't have enough parking places. Now, the Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota, when I was checking out, they told me that March or April was the busiest month in the history of their hotel. A Ritz-Carlton in April. There's increase that's happening out there. God wants it to be a part of your life. But it begins with you. And so my challenge to you today is, find this week some area of your life where your thinking has been messing you up, or your thinking has been holding you down, or you've just been continuing to get crushed when you should get something else. And begin to break that pattern and come to the realization you're not trapped by the thinking of others. You're not trapped by the thinking that you brought to this day. But God can bring increase into your life, and you can experience that increase greater than ever before. How many are willing to do that? Something this week. Willing to do that? All right, let's say this prayer together. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for your word. Your word shows that I can change. Your word shows you will help me and empower me to change. So I ask you now, show me the changes I should make. And I thank you now, and I praise you in advance for the increase that is coming my way. Now praise and thank him for that increase. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we praise you, we magnify you, we worship you, we glorify you. We thank you for that increase. Find two or three people around you and say to them, "Now I'm really ready for increase." Yeah, God bless you. See you tonight.